I'm legitimately hanging on every single tweet that comes out at this point, trying to figure out what in the world is going on in the world of sports. No Lebatard, no Stugatz, Peter Burns, Katie George back with you. Remember, guests appear on the Dan Lebatard Show, appear on that Shell Pennzoil Performance line. We'll talk to Todd Zeal momentarily, get everything that's going on with Major League Baseball, the Mets, and what he's got going on. And remember, it is that time of year, believe it or not, NFL is almost here. ESPN Fantasy Football around the corner. Draft your team, compete with friends to take home the crown. Sign up now at ESPN.com/fantasyfootball today. Katie George, Sports Center update, please.
Well, Jeff Passan reports that 8 additional Miami Marlins players and 2 coaches have tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the total number of cases on the ball club to about 14. As a result, the Marlins home opener versus the Orioles has been postponed, and the team will remain in Philadelphia to undergo more testing. Subsequently, the Phillies and Yankees game at Citizens Bank Park has been postponed tonight as well. For all the latest headlines and information, tune into SportsCenter on ESPN Radio all throughout the day.
So that's the news. Marlins had 4 players test positive, and they decided they were not going to travel home to play the Baltimore Orioles. Well, then that game has since been postponed, and of course, the Marlins just had played a 3-game set against the Phillies. They were supposed to open up against the Yankees. That game has been postponed. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, has a phone call with all 30 of the owners. And now that will happen in about 27 minutes at 12:30 Eastern. Joining us right now is Todd Zeal. And Todd, let's start with this. You know, you're close to that Mets organization. The Mets, of course, just had an opportunity to play the Atlanta Braves, who had played the Marlins in a scrimmage. I feel like this contact tracing of Major League Baseball is crazy. What are you hearing at all from the Mets and Major League Baseball players about this news today?
Oh, wow. So far, nothing really out of the Mets camp that I've seen. But obviously, there's going to be concern around all of Major League Baseball because, as you said, it's just, you know, a matter of contact. And, you know, you were afraid when you heard that there was 4 Marlins that tested positive, that there was going to be more results testing positive. And now, you know, this is just the beginning, I would assume, of, you know, I think a deeper look to all the organizations, especially the organizations that have had contact with the Marlins recently.
Todd, I think we can all agree that postponing these 2 games tonight is a smart and necessary move. How do you think the league should handle things moving forward?
I'm not the guy to make that determination by any means, because it's a tricky one. I mean, I think they all felt like during the time that they were negotiating to get back in the field, that health and safety concerns were certainly a top priority in the conversations between ownership and the players. And I think they felt as if the health and safety protocols in place were going to do the best that it could be expected to do to keep the guys safe. But as we've seen over the last 5 months, there is nothing predictable about this virus. It affects guys different ways. There's times that you can be asymptomatic for a number of days but still be contagious. And because of those factors, it's just impossible to stay 100% secure. And so I think they may take a step back right now, try to keep the games that seem to be, you know, at least at some level, you know, have a measure of safety. Obviously, the Phillies just got through playing the Marlins. So now that's one extension that they're going to have to keep an eye on the Phillies right now. But you know what? I don't think that anybody knows exactly what they're going to do. This is a new world, and I think it's important for everybody to try to keep finding a way to forge ahead and stay within some element of safety, but it's just so much easier said than done.
Todd Zeal joining us here, Peter Burns, Katie George here on the Dan Lebatard Show. And you're so right, Todd, because I think that we're just products of, hey, it's 162-game season. You start here. You have the Fall Classic here. We're used to this protocols. We're used to this playbook. And there is no playbook for this, right? It hasn't been done. And so the answer of, well, we just have to figure it out along the way, unfortunately, it's normally where we would never do that, especially around professional sports. We just live in that world. Now, with that being said, universal DH, you've seen a couple of games, 3 batter minimum for relievers. Of course, the batter on or a runner on second base in extra innings. What have you seen from the actual play in this opening weekend?
I think it's been interesting. I mean, I'm a guy that has never been a fan of the universal DH. I like the differentiation between the two leagues. I like the fact that the National League still has some strategy for the manager to manipulate during a game, and the fact that, you know, a team like the Mets are fun to watch because they have pitchers that are actually decent hitters and help themselves out. So for all those reasons, I like the differentiation. Having said that, I think it makes sense for this season, but I would hope, but I think I'm going to be hoping on the wrong end of this one, that it would potentially only be for this one odd year and not be implemented full-time. Having said that, I do like some of the other things. The three-batter minimum is going to really change some strategy elements as well for, you know, for managers. That left-handed specialist is essentially being eliminated. It's going to be interesting to see if guys that come in for one batter and finish an inning, if they send them back out there knowing that they've got two more batters to face. So it's going to be a little bit of a I think that one's going to be a little bit sticky because you're going to get yourself in trouble at times or not make a move because of that, and it could affect the outcome of the game. I really liked the extra inning move the other day. I think that was something that, you know, there were so many games, and I can speak to, I don't know, at least five games, it seems like, last season, and it felt like to me they were always West Coast games, so it was 2 to 4 o'clock in the morning that I was up still watching the ball game when you go 15, 16, 17 innings, and nobody can get a run across because everybody's looking for launch angle and trying to end it on one swing. So I like this runner on second base. I like the idea of, you know, getting the game over a lot quicker and putting some pressure on the opposition. So there's my take on those three.
Todd, you're a busy man for sure. You broadcast for the Mets, and you're also a video game executive, and your company is releasing a new sports game called Ultimate Rivals 3. First, how'd you get involved in the video game world, and what can fans and gamers expect from Ultimate Rivals 3?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I was really not much of a gamer. My kids were big gamers, and they used to beat me like a drum, so I figured I didn't need the frustration, but I got contacted by the founder, CEO of BitFry Games, about 5 years ago. And at that point, he was the visionary behind an early iteration of a baseball-only game. And I think we clicked on my relationship element. I could bring relationships with licensors, and his vision was to have a multi-sport licensed video game and, you know, cut to... You know, 5 years later, we're licensed with all the players' associations. We're licensed with NHL, NBA, and MLB. We've got NFL players in our game. And the sort of the secret sauce to the Ultimate Rivals franchise is that you can cross the athletes from one sport to another. So the Rink, as you said, was the first release. It's a very fast-paced arcade action hockey game, but you could play Alex Ovechkin and Wayne Gretzky against LeBron James and Clayton Kershaw in a hockey game. So it's a different element. It's sort of it's very aspirational. These guys are kind of like superheroes, like Avengers coming into the game, but it makes for very fast-paced action, something that hasn't been seen you know, since the 90s games like NBA Jam and MLB Slugfest.
Wait a minute, who wins with this? I mean, let's say that Kershaw doesn't have the back injury. Of course, he's on the 10-day DL. But, I mean, are we talking, like, is LeBron, I mean, can he even stay on the ice with the great one and Ovechkin at this point? I'm curious how this works, Todd Zeal.
So it's great. That's a great question. That all of these athletes have their own attributes that make them spectacular in their own sport. But those attributes also have some level of crossover polish as well to him. And as a gamer, you could say, hey, LeBron James, he's powerful. He's got great leaping ability. He's got great outside touch. So you translate that on the ice. And if he checks somebody, he's got more power than maybe, you know, somebody that's not as big and strong as LeBron. There are attributes that translate to each sport that they play. And as the gamer, you can build up each one of the athletes' particular skills on that non-native sport. So the first release, as I said, is The Rink. That's the hockey game. The Court is coming out in November, and that's the basketball version. Same thing, very NBA Jam-like. And now your baseball players, you know, you've got a guy, I mentioned Clayton Kershaw, and maybe there's a guy that obviously has pinpoint control. He's got a great fastball, and he's a guy that's got stamina. So those things attribute to his skills on the basketball court, long passes, accurate three-point shots, and that type of dynamic that crosses from one sport to another.
I'm in, because now it appears if all of a sudden sports gets canceled, I'm going to have a lot of free time in my hands in the fall, and now I've got something to play. Ultimate Rivals, the ranking, go check it out on the App Store on Apple. It actually has pretty good reviews there. So, Todd Zeal, thanks so much on the insight on the game and also what's going on, everything with Major League Baseball right now.
Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That might be my favorite rejoin, Katie George. Stu Gotch is absolutely nailing a Sammy Sosa, Tom Ricketts take, only to be told Ricketts did not actually own the Cubbies when that happened. Peter Burns, Katie George, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. In case you miss any of the show, you can listen to all 3 hours on the Dan Le Batard Show, plus the Miami-only hour, Lauer, and best of podcasts on demand, the ESPN app. Subscribe to Le Batard and Friends Podcast Network, featuring South Beach Sessions, Stupidity, and Mystery Crepe. Please rate and subscribe. New episodes are posted every week and everywhere where you get your podcasts. Katie George, 10 minutes away from Rob Manfred in his phone call with the rest of Major League Baseball owners. You get the first question. You get the floor in this, I assume, Zoom press conference. What are you asking?
Oh, that's so tough because I have a lot. I guess the first one would be, what are you going to do with the Marlins? What's the plan moving forward, since they don't have in their, you know, 100-page book or memo, playbook, if you will, of how to handle COVID navigating this season? What happens if there is an outbreak or X amount of players or coaches get the coronavirus and test positive? I do want to update. Earlier I said that 8 players had tested positive. We have now been informed that 7 additional players and 2 coaches tested positive, along with the 4 players
good
from
news.
Yesterday.
Good, yeah. So it was 8? You see, we thought we had 14. We're down to 13.
Down to 13
great
members
news.
Of the Marlins organization have tested positive. That's, if that's what you want to hold on to, Pete, that's good news. Yes.
I honestly,
it's
I'll
better
take
than
anything.
14.
I'll take anything at this point. Cody, you ask one question to Major League Baseball today in this conference call that's going to be done in 10 minutes from now. What are you asking?
Are we worried about these umpires at all? What are we, like, I'm concerned about the umpire that did the Braves Marlins game, that scrimmage last week, because the 2 Braves catchers got it, then Alfaro, the Marlins catcher, got it. Mm. Are we worried about these umpires? They're older men for the most part. Some of them are a little hefty. I'm just concerned about them, and I think they need to be spoken for.
I think they prefer to use the word husky as opposed to hefty, but we'll allow it.
Pudgy.
I thought that I did, Katie. That was one of the best scenes we saw this weekend. Were what game was it where the umpire and the manager start going after it, but the umpire legitimately starts walking towards the dugout and has to like go into his back pocket to grab the mask before he can actually argue it?
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh's manager, Derek Shelton. He got tossed, and so before coming out of the dugout to have a conversation with the head ump, he puts up his mask, right? He goes over there. The umpire's walking towards him, gets a little bit too close in his bubble, if you will, and Shelton backs up, and he pulls out his mask. And so I just thought the whole thing, like, yesterday, I'm laughing, right? I'm like, wow, this is crazy that this is what we're seeing. We see Anthony Rizzo giving hand sanitizer out at first base. You see these guys fighting via, you know, 6 feet apart and with these masks. And then now here we are talking about a much more serious situation.
They were arguing as if they were actually nose to nose, but they weren't. So it's like they had the body language of, I'm up in your face right now, but they were like 4 feet apart.
They're
so
angry,
like, really
yet
fun.
Respective. Like, they're respectful of each other, right? Like, they're just like, I get it. I was waiting for, like, some type of, like they kind of honestly, at some point, they had looked to see how far their feet were apart from each other, right? Like, there was at least some math being done while trying to rip each other's face off, Billy.
How do you think Bobby Cox would have handled this situation? Oh. Because Bobby Cox would get in everybody's face, and I feel like Bobby Cox may not have listened to the rules necessarily.
I feel like he would have been one of those guys that would have taken it a little bit too far. Bobby Valentine as well too. I think Bobby V would have been a little bit different. I think all of those. I think the old school managers would have been a little bit different, Katie.
I'm thinking back to your question, right, about if you're an owner on this call, what questions do you have for Rob Manfred in the league? Do we have clarity on the fact that the league gave permission to the Marlins and said, hey, we're aware of these positive tests, but it's up to you if you want to play? Or was that withheld from the league? And is there any investigation or consequences for the Marlins going through with playing on Sunday when maybe they should have backed out?
It's a great question, right? Because I think Ken Rosenthal and the guys over at The Athletic wrote about that, saying Don Mattingly even said, listen, we've got four players that have tested positive at that point. Remember, that was the breaking news this morning before we were coming on air, was that four players, they weren't going to fly home to play the Orioles in their opener in Miami. And it was just four. And he said, quote, hey, we talked about it with our guys. And, you know, and they feel comfortable pressing forward, that we knew that this was going to happen. So, but this is we knew somebody was going to test positive, but now, Katie, this is the next step of it. It's not just one player testing positive. It's eight different players, which has effectively put the season on hold in for four teams right now, which, again, how are you going to change this for the next series that the Marlins have, and the next series that the Yankees have, the next season series that the Orioles have? When you have a 60-game sprint where you don't really have any days off, this is a backlog, right? Like, all of a sudden, you have a traffic jam of scheduling in which you're going to have to wait, I would imagine, at least for these teams, 48 hours? I mean, is that...
Well, at least, I mean, you have to produce two negative test results 24 hours apart, and you have to show 72 hours of no symptoms to be able to be reinstated to play. So you're going to see Marlins players sitting out for quite some time. And like you said, time is of the essence. I mean, this is a sprint, not a marathon. You can go so many ways down this rabbit hole, though. Okay, so if you've got Marlins players, say, out for 14 days at worst, because that's the CDC guidelines of if you need to quarantine after coming in contact with somebody.
11 players tested.
So you taxi some guys up from the minors, right? And you try to round out your new roster, given that you've been hit with COVID. Is there now that asterisk that we've all talked about for the Marlins in terms of competitive advantage for other teams in the division? What about other players who see this and they're like, I've got a kid with an autoimmune disorder at home. I was already kind of on teetering on the line of playing or not, but this is what I do for a living. This is what I love. My family and I, we decided we wanted to play. Like, now do you see some players like, dude, I don't want any part of this anymore? Do you see some players opt out? I mean, there's so many follow-ups. There's so many more questions to be had based on what we're dealing with right now.
Katie, real quick, I don't even think it's in obviously great point about coronavirus, where some people are like, you know, in theory, but it really hasn't hit us. We've got quarantine, we got protocols, we're pretty good. But now this becomes real, right? Like, hey, no, all of a sudden I got a teammate, or I know somebody, one of my boys has it, and how it affects them. But also with this, you know, truncated spring training, we just saw Justin Verlander go on the DL because of an issue. Clayton Kershaw was already a healthy scratch. How many of these guys are going to say, you know what, we didn't have a full spring training, I'm not 100% game shape right now? Like, are we going to see those injuries? Same thing with NFL training camp, college football. I mean, I think with this schedule now, and not as much as the traditional schedule, as big as athletes are, you're going to see more injuries. And at some point, you're going to have more and more people say, it is not worth the risk. Is it worth the risk in college, in the NBA? We're going to be joined by Ramona Shelburne coming up in just a moment, because the Lou Will story continues to take some twists and turns. We'll have that coming up next year. Dan Le Batard, it's Stugatz. Peter Burns, Katie George, in for Le Batard and Stu Gotts. Looking for some good news, Katie. Actually, my daughter watched a full movie for the first time on Friday. That was at least some good news. I get all these Major League Baseball bad news. It was Trolls, by the way. So we saw this one. I'm so excited. We sat through one. By the way, guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. It is now time for a Sports Center update. Katie George, take it away.
Well, 7 additional Marlins players and 2 coaches have tested positive for COVID-19, along with the 4 players from yesterday, bringing the total to 13 members of the Marlins organization. Miami's home opener against the Orioles this evening has since been postponed, as has the Phillies and Yankees game at Citizens Bank Park. ESPN's Field Yates reports the NHL announces that of the 4,256 COVID tests administered to players from July 18th through the 25th, there were 0 positive tests. Download the top-rated DraftKings Daily Fantasy app today and use code DAN for a free shot at $1 million up for grabs this week with your first deposit. That's code DAN for a shot at millions on the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app when you sign up today.
NHL kind of out there dunking, huh? Sorry, I'm just dunking straight on Major League Baseball for what we just saw. I mean, that just announcing right in the middle of all of this, they're like, let's just put out a PR statement that said we had 4,200 some odd tests, not a single player tested positive.
Well, I think you can draw conclusions about bubbles versus not bubbles, and that's why I'm so glad we're having Ramona Shelbourne on now.
It's the bubble in Orlando has worked fairly well, right, Ramona? I mean, at this point, outside of Lou Will stopping for some chicken wings and having to attend a quarantine, all is at least a positive?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that, this is, you said it right just a minute ago. It's like, this is the difference between having a bubble and not bubble. And, you know, in baseball, when they were talking about the season restarting, initially it was like, oh, we can't do a bubble because the baseball season is so long, right? The idea was it's 6 months long. Guys can't be away from their families that long. But they took so long negotiating. The season is really not that long, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could have done a bubble. But when all was said and done, if all you were going to do is play 60 games, it's really sad to see, because I think in the NBA, it is going to get more challenging, of course, because you're going to have, the longer you're in the bubble, the harder it gets. I mean, you're away from your family, from the outside world, from social life. And you know, I talk to people inside the bubble, so I know what life is like inside there. I'm not experiencing it for myself, but my media colleagues say it's kind of rough. There's just a very small area that they're even allowed to be in. It's like, it's not like you can go for a long hike, right? You just a little square patch of grass you can walk around. But I think most of the teams are, the general sentiment is they're okay because they have games now. Like, if they didn't have games to start focusing on, if the regular season wasn't about to resume after these scrimmages, then I think it would start to get really hard. But the games help because it gives you something to focus on rather than, how much you want to see other people or go out in the world.
Ramona, Lou Williams' recent trip to Magic City certainly made all kinds of headlines. Some can say it's irresponsible. Some say going to a high-risk location like a restaurant is just ignorant. How could Lou Williams' decision outside the bubble disrupt what's trying to be achieved inside the bubble?
Well, I think what the issue was, and I'll tell you how, I heard about it on, I guess it was Friday, that I just started hearing from other teams that were upset about it. You know, it was anybody I spoke to, because I was, I just talked to people for stories all day. They were all talking about it. And I at first didn't even know that he had gone, because the pictures came out on Jack Harlow, who was a rapper who, like, it's not like I follow that, right? And then it was on TMZ, but everyone in the bubble was, and they were mad because I think the sense people had was everybody sacrificed a lot and is sacrificing a lot to be in the bubble, the testing, the being away from their families. So when you see something where he had a legitimate reason for leaving, right? He went to attend the funeral of I think it was his best friend's father. We're going to call it's a loved one, a relative. We can call it that. That's fine. Everybody understands that those things come up all the time. But while you're away, you can't then go to a strip club. Like, it's just that's not what you are excused for. And I know the other counter argument is, well, if he's being tested every day, why should it matter what else he does? One general manager I spoke to just said, it really it really makes it difficult for other people who are going to say, I have a legitimate reason to leave. I need to go to this, to go see somebody before they, you know, who's struggling, who's gravely ill. And they probably need to amend the rules. And by the way, they've been doing that. They have a daily call with the general managers where they amend the rules from time to time as you know, they get feedback on how it's playing out. So I think that's why he compromised it, Katie, because, you know, when he left, this is obviously a high risk place to go. It's indoors. There's a lot of people there, especially in the videos and photos that have surfaced online. I know the NBA, you know, investigated that immediately. And, you know, from what I gather, that investigation felt, you know, was described to me like it was an interrogation. It was not polite. And I think it makes sense, right? If you have gone to a high risk location, they need to know exactly how many people were there. How did you ever take off your mask? Did anybody else around you take off their mask? Those are the types of things that matter when you're assessing how high risk did you just put yourself in the position.
Well, Ramona, again, the reason why we kind of laughed at it was Lou Will eating Lou Will wings inside a performing arts center, which I think that's the proper way of calling Magic City, and that's what it is. People trying to put their way through college. I mean, listen, it's future educators. But had it been Alex Caruso at a Chili's, do we handle the same situation, you know, and all of a sudden it's not so much headlines. She's just, oh, okay, it looks a little bit different. But now with this Major League Baseball news, you look at it and go, this is a little bit more serious. Like, one person could jeopardize everything that the NBA players are trying to get done.
Yeah, that's really the point. And so I remember I read this article that Zach Lowe wrote with Alex Caruso last week. And my first reaction was like, wait, who's having 100-person weddings right now? Like, I didn't even realize. Like, Alex Caruso was thinking about going to his sister's wedding, which is 100 people in Texas, which, oh my gosh, like, that is staggering to me that was existing and happening. And some of it was indoors, and some of it was outdoors. Like, yeah, that sounds super high risk to me, right? And I think what happened was, I've heard this described by others, is the Lakers have their own infectious disease specialist, the NBA has infectious disease specialists, and before Alex went, they consulted with, you know, on the situation and said, this is such a high-risk thing to do. If Caruso goes, even if he's tested every single day that he's gone, he will have to re-quarantine for up to 14 days. And the point being is, you know, just because you test every day that you're gone doesn't mean that the virus, you couldn't have picked up the virus. It could be, you could be carrying it, you know, and they know that 14 days is the length that they think is safe, right? Like, that you could have symptoms from an exposure. And the thought was, nobody wants Alex Caruso to come back and give it to the rest of his teammates or three other guys on his team, and then they give it to three other guys on another team. I mean, nobody wants, and let's put this, it didn't matter if he goes to a Chili's or the wedding. Like, either one of those is actually high risk, right? Going to an indoor restaurant, that'd be high risk as well. And so I think, you know, with the Lou Williams situation, they have to look at that and say, nobody wants Lou Williams coming back from the funeral and going to the strip club and giving this to Kawhi Leonard or Paul George or anybody else on the Clippers team who then gives it to everyone else in the bubble. They've had zero test positives in the bubble, and this is the only way that you can keep it that way.
Last thing real quick, you're not a Jack Harlow fan. You said that. What are you listening to right now on your way?
I've since looked him up and realized that I have heard his song. It just took a minute.
Are you are you a Swiftie? There's a vote here in our chat that says you might be a Swiftie. Are you a Meek Mill? Where is Ramona Shelburne?
No, I like Taylor. Okay. You know what though? Like, this is going to sound really lame, okay? But okay, in quarantine life, I don't get to listen to much music except for like nursery rhymes that play for my son all the time. So like, those things get in your head, man. You watch the Cocomelon.
Yes, First Day of School by Cocomelon is the greatest jam.
Oh my gosh.
Seriously,
it's like I dream about Cocomelon. I can't help it. It's like
my daddy is the best there ever was. My daddy. I'm telling you, Ramona,
you've started something that's not going to be stopped for the rest of the show.
I know it. listen, it gets into my... Sorry, excuse me.
These are the words that you learn to say.
Yeah.
Rory knows what's going on.
You never can. It never leaves you. I will know that song for the rest of my life now, you know?
Team Coco Melon, and you also do a little ESPN basketball as well. Ramona Shelburne, thank you so much for getting these songs stuck in our head in the info today, okay?
Thanks, Ramona. It's my gift to you.
Bye.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, Katie George, once you go with Coco Melon, I mean, it's like they've got some type of like catnip in it for infants and toddlers that they will just zone in. But yeah, just thought I'd let you know that, Katie.
Yeah, I'll keep that in my back pocket for the day that I have children that day. Mike.
Let's do it. Daddy finger, daddy finger. Come on, Chris Cody.
Are you? Here I am. Here I am.
Roy, get in on it.
Daddy finger, where are you?
I'm telling you, once Coco Melon gets in your system, Katie George, you'll know. You're laughing at me because you don't have any kids yet, but trust me, you'll be like Ramona Shelburne. That's what you listen to. It's like catnip for infants, I'm telling you. Peter Burns, Katie George here. This show is always presented by Progressive Insurance, a Dan Le Batard show, brought to you also by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm just trying to smile at some point in my life right now because, Katie, I keep seeing all these headlines. We thought, all right, Marlins, what are we going to do today? They were supposed to travel home, take on the Orioles, and sure enough, 13 members of the Marlins have tested positive for the virus. Jeff Passan reported that a little bit earlier today, and now that game has been canceled. The Marlins had just played the Phillies. The Phillies game against the Yankees has now been, I say canceled, at least has been postponed at this point, Katie, and Major League Baseball, as we speak, is conducting a conference call with all 30 of their owners to determine what exactly is going to happen here in the next 24 to 48 hours, and we hopefully should know that here probably within the next hour of what they decide to do.
You know, we've had some really great guests on, NBA guests who obviously understand the bubble concept through and through. We had Jeff Passan earlier. I think the consensus is, should we be surprised? No, not really. This was kind of expected to a degree, right, Pete? The fact that the MLB decided against a bubble concept, that they said, yep, we're going to do our best, but we're going to continue to travel to different cities. We're going to be on flights. We're not going to quarantine our guys in their home markets. I think that this was expected. So I don't think it should come to a surprise by anybody at this point, even Rob Manfred. It's just now, what do you do moving forward? Do you quarantine the Marlins for now? Do you quarantine the Phillies until you have the proper